Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare at its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. Today, we're talking about Taiwan's beef noodle soup. And this is actually our sixth episode about Chinese noodles, which just shows how intrinsic this food is to Chinese cuisine and how varied the interpretations can be. So the beef noodle soup is typically a meal unto itself. It's a hearty bowl of wheat flour noodles in beef broth with slices of braised beef, different cuts sometimes, often accompanied with suan cai, which is Chinese sauerkraut, and scallions, and sometimes other leafy vegetables. So the first instance of the beef noodle soup was reportedly created by the Hui people, a Chinese Muslim ethnic group during the Tang Dynasty of China. But the version we are talking about today can be attributed to when many mainlanders of the Kuomintang party fled to Taiwan after the Chinese Civil War. They also brought with them the culinary influences of where they came from, like Sichuan. Hence the soup's chili bean paste and the Sichuan peppercorns added. Traditionally, though, the Taiwanese also did not eat beef, as they were mainly farmers and both needed the cattle for agriculture and had feelings of gratitude towards them. So then that changed, too, with the influx of Chinese from other provinces. I'm often intrigued by people that are dedicated to creating the best version of a dish. And Richard Ho is doing that with beef noodle soup at his shop, Ho Foods.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Linda.
Of course.
This is so cool. We're talking about Taiwanese food in a Taiwanese shipping container.
Yeah. And how do you know that?
Well, to keep it short, my parents are in logistics. They're customs brokers. My dad's in trucking, and Evergreen is a huge Taiwanese shipping conglomerate.
Oh, yeah, so fun fact.
Yeah.
And so Rich is a Taiwanese American born in San Gabriel Valley, California, and you formerly worked at Blue Ribbon Sushi Bar and Grill in the city.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. So how did you decide on perfecting the beef noodle soup?
Opening a restaurant was something that I've always wanted to do as a child. And I think that, you know, for so many people who love food, you know, having a restaurant was like the ultimate dream of ours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, restaurants were a happy place. You know, instead of having to study for school or piano lessons, like restaurants where we went to have fun. And we thought about what kind of restaurant we wanted to open. And one of my favorite dishes growing up was beef noodle soup.
Mm-hmm. Something your mom made for you,
yeah,
or that you'd have out in the valley?
So we had both. You know, we would beg our moms to make it. You know, the way she did it, she took her time, and it wasn't like a quick thing. So she had a plan ahead. She had to get the bones, just do it overnight, just do the meat in a certain way, get noodles from a certain place.
Mm.
And it was very involved. So, and it was always a treat for us when mom made beef noodle soup. And once in a while, you know, we begged her enough, and if she didn't want to make it, she'll take us to our favorite beef noodle soup place.
That's amazing. So how did you know this concept would work in the city here?
Well, you know, a few years back, you know, I would say about 3 years ago, you know, we were thinking about, you know, how do we bring this out? And so we started doing, we did events, we did pop-ups. And the first time, you know, we had some friends together, we decided, we picked a date, we said, you know, let's put this out there and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And by that time, were you already like an, you know, expert in like creating different variations of beef noodle soup? Like how long had you been like making this dish? Or was that the one instance where you're like, okay, let's put in the research now and then do it?
Well, it was a dish that I always made for our friends, mm-hmm, like at home. And if someone said, hey, can you cook something? Or it was the one dish that I always made. Nice. I had a lot of experience making it at home, but I didn't really delve that deep into it until we decided to put this out,
mm-hmm,
into the public and to, you know, to see what would happen.
And the reception was good?
And the reception was good. And at that point, you know, we were much more, you know, thoughtful about, we went to different beef noodle soup shops. You know, we went back to Taiwan and we tried,
mm-hmm,
maybe not every single one, but a lot of them. You know, we probably tried like 40 some odd beef noodle soup restaurants, you know, everywhere from, you know, the kind of the old school places like Ding Dong Fang or Yokengjie or Taoyuanjie, mm-hmm, or, you know, even at the Eva Airways Lounge.
Yeah.
You know,
what's the best one?
Oh my God. You know, I think you have to pay your respects to the kind of the old school, mm-hmm, you know, like the Ding Dong Fangs or, mm-hmm, like the Taoyuanjie, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a whole nother debate. You know, mm-hmm, we went to the ones that were the prize winners. We, mm-hmm, went to like the ones.
There's different types,
there's
right?
Different
it's like old school style.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Okay.
And even when you travel throughout Taiwan, it's very different. You know, there's I think the two biggest categories are probably the Hong Sao, which is kind of like the red cooked, mm-hmm, rock sugar soy sauce.
So sweeter.
Sweeter, kind of more. Bold flavored,
mm-hmm,
and another style is kind of a lighter, very beefier broth. As you go down south in Taiwan, the soup gets there's more kind of clear broth, a little sweeter. You know, sometimes they'll have a different condiments on the side. But yeah, you know, like beef noodle soup is kind of like pizza in New York City. Every neighborhood has one.
Oh, good and, comparison.
And,
okay.
And wherever you grow up, I think you gravitate towards that. Like, that was my favorite place. That's the best one.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, it comes with the memories.
Right. I'm from Bayside, or I'm from Queens, or I'm from Hell's Kitchen, or I'm from whatever. Like, this is, that is the best slice of pizza. This is the best beef noodle soup I've had. And I think, you know, one of the most, I don't know about scary things, but one of the most like things that we get anxiety about is like we know that that's what it means to people because it's such a personal dish.
Mm,
right?
The pressure is on.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Especially when the moms come in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, they have such a long history of what this dish is supposed to taste like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that we want it to be an exact replica of something.
Right, because every mom does it different too. Then,
every
day. So.
Of course. You know, uh-huh. They all have their own little secrets. Like maybe I put tomatoes, or maybe I put carrots, or you know, maybe I use like the shallot sauce, or maybe I use this type of bean paste, or three different types of soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Every mom has their different secret.
And so, what have the moms been saying?
Oh, the so moms. Far. Oh my God, that makes us the most nervous. You know, I think the moms eat it the right way, right? I think the right
and
way
to
eat
it. And what's the right way?
The right way to eat is that you look at it, you smell it.
Observe.
Observe.
Yeah. Not take out your phone immediately and take a photo.
Like, let's see what's the angle. You know, what? That's great. Do whatever you want with it. I'm okay with it. But I think that, you know, they look at it and then they take a sip of the soup first.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Is it beefy? One. Does it have that like minerality that beef has? You know, is it sweet enough? Does it have hints of ginger? Are there kind of like, do you taste the medicinal herbs that are in there, the five spice? And you know, all we look for when moms come in is that they have a sip and they just have a very slight nod.
That's the approval.
If that's there, then cool. Like, I'm okay. Like, even if they tell me one thing, like, they tell me whatever. I'm like, as long as they have that little... But they usually have been very nice and very kind and and very supportive. You know, the Taiwanese community has been very supportive of us. Mm-hmm. So, but we look for that little nod, like, okay. Like, we're okay. Like, yeah. We can continue working and we don't have to shut the place down. Right?
What has your mom said?
My mom hasn't been here yet.
Oh, what?
You know, some things with the families have come up, and you know, they're very busy. They're still working.
Mm-hmm. Are they supportive of this project?
Maybe now they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for the longest time
they're like, "Look, Mom, I'm in New York Times."
I think they care more about being in like a Chinese publication. And
oh, okay.
You know, I remember the like someone from Taiwanese like CCTV came in, and I forget which, and my dad called me, was like, "Hey," or my mom called me. He's like, "Hey, you know you're on television." And I was like, "Oh, it was fast. They were here like 2 days ago." And she was like, "Oh, now." I forget what she said, but
now
she sounded...
Now I'm proud of you, son.
Now she's happy. Now she doesn't yell at me for working in restaurants anymore. Well, maybe she still does. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they've been very supportive of most everything I do. You know, I think before they probably wish I did something else, but maybe they still do.
No, you're seeing so much, like, such a growing fan base from your community. That's really cool. But like... I guess going back to the type of beef noodle soup that you serve.
Right.
Where does your recipe draw from? Is it more of like the clear broth? Is it more of the like Hong Shao style?
It's more of the red cook, the Hong Shao style for sure. That's what my mom made growing up the most. You know, she would vary it a little bit depending on seasons. Like in the winter time, she would make Hong Shao more often. And even her pickles were like a little bit more bold.
Because it's like the richness.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the summertime, she'll make like lighter pickles and different, you know, she'll, you know, but Hong Shao was the one that she always made for us. And that's kind of where it all started.
And do you have different variations that you're serving?
So we have one beef base broth. It's tons of beef bones, shin bones, cartilage, cow's feet, lots of gelatin, lots of bone marrow, and we have one soup that we make for the day. You can vary it yourself by how much marrow you want in there or how much spiciness you want in there.
Mm-hmm. So is that a request you do when you order it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can, you know, we try to have, you know, not everyone wants to get like crazy spicy, or not, people want to, I think people like to customize how they are a little bit, but the ingredients are all the same and the flavor profile is, I think it's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think it's something that is similar to what you would find in Taiwan, or have you adapted to like the New York taste?
You know, I don't think we've adapted to the New York taste, but I think what we really try to do is have a taste that reminds people of Taiwan, about reminds people of Taiwanese homes or growing up Taiwanese. And if we achieve that, then, you know, we've succeeded. Not in a restaurant, but at least in those intentions. You know, we really want people to taste and be like, that reminds me of Taiwanese beef noodle soup. And some people might say that tastes exactly like this, and some people might not. And that's totally okay with us. You know, we've made a version that we like.
And what about the noodles? Do you guys source that from New York, or do you get that from elsewhere? You make your own?
So we source from New York. It's a small family operation. You know, they've been making noodles forever. It's a couple brothers and a sister, they're siblings. He travels, one of the guys travels to Taiwan all the time. I think his wife is Taiwanese as well, and he loves Taiwanese noodles. And so he makes it in the style, they're wheat noodles, right? Mm-hmm. We have two different kinds. It's the same wheat, but it's cut into different shapes.
Mm-hmm. What are the shapes?
Like a flat and thin noodle, mm-hmm. and kind of a more circular and thick noodle. We get that question at the restaurant all the time, because we say thick and wide, and people think it sounds the same. But yeah, you know, it's silky. It's got a nice chew, and it reminds me most of the noodles that we have in Taiwan or growing up eating in Los Angeles.
Mm, yeah. Okay, well, I guess you'll have to try both to find out what your preference is.
Oh, people are so adamant about the type of noodle that they like or they think is...
I'm the thick type. I'm the wide type.
Right. It's like they'll tell their friends, like, you definitely have to get thick. Or, yeah. And for me, I mean, I have it so often, I'll have half and half, you know.
Like, oh, what? Sacrilegious?
Well, not at the same time. Not at the same time.
Okay.
You know, they cook at different times. But at, you know, maybe I'll have one day and the other one day. Mm-hmm. We gotta make sure that they both taste good.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're like QA? You're eating the noodles every day.
We make all different variations for us after work. You work at a chocolate factory, you get tired of eating the same type of chocolate, right? We try all different types, whether it's dry noodles, extra fatty noodles, extra spicy noodles, different types of noodles. You know, we get our friends have sent us some samples that they've made. Of, you know, alkaline noodles. And, we definitely like to see, you know.
Yeah, that goes into, you know, being a perfectionist. You kind of test all the angles.
Yeah, or just curious.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely curious. It's fun.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. From papayas and samosas to reishi mushrooms, if it's something that sounds delicious, chances are you'll find the freshest, best version of it at Whole Foods Market. They have more than 400 stores across the country, so if you consider pizza its own food group or just can't imagine when avocado toast wasn't a thing, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com to find a store near you. Whole Foods Market, whatever makes you whole.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West, and we're talking about beef noodles soup with Rich Ho. So I hear San Gabriel Valley is amazing for Asian food, Taiwanese food. Is that true?
Yes.
More so than New York. And I want to talk about why that is.
Well, I mean, that's such a tricky thing because, you know, I live in New York. I love New York. And, you know, like for me, I'm the outsider here. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to even say that, like, L.A. has better food. Taiwanese food, at least.
But you've lived here for how many years now?
12, 14 years?
Yeah, I think that's...
I've been thinking about that a lot. And I think that maybe there's a couple reasons. One is, I mean, produce and... California is amazing, and there's that coupled with a lot more space. It makes cooking delicious food easier in California in general. And another thing is, I feel like in the East Coast, you know, Asians, many different types of Asians have been in New York for multi generations, and everyone is so close to each other. I mean, you know, our apartments are small, the neighborhoods are are tight and everyone kind of rubs off on each other. Where we grew up, in third grade, I believe, there was a handful of Asian kids at our school. By the time we were in high school, there was 2,000 of us. I mean, they sold boba tea at our high school in like 1996 mm-hmm. or 1997 or something like that, which is, it just goes to
New
show
York
how
Times
many...
New York Times just found out about that, like, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had at least 10 boba shops in Arcadia alone, right? So I think that one is not that there wasn't Asians there before. Of course, like, we grew up in Arcadia. There was, you know, the Japanese have been there for multi-generations. Mm-hmm. There was internment camps there. That's a whole other conversation altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of Taiwanese people moved to San Gabriel Valley in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And they all moved into similar communities. They stuck together. And so we went to Asian restaurants that cooked only for Asian people,
mm-hmm.
right? And we had regional Asian cuisine as a kid. You know, we had, mm-hmm. you know, if you're Hebei, Sichuan, mm-hmm. you know.
That's pretty specific, yeah.
Right, like very, very specific types of Asian restaurants. And the only people eating there were you know, you had Taiwanese, Kuai Cao Dian, only mm-hmm. 90% Taiwanese clientele would show up.
Interesting. So maybe it is kind of, it has to do with like the space thing. There's like room to flourish.
Yeah. And there's hundreds of Asian restaurants on Valley Boulevard alone. So I think it's the space, the produce, and also that we kind of all came at that same time and kind of came up together, and there was enough of a support for all these restaurants to exist. You know, like 100 Asian restaurants wasn't too many. It was mm-hmm. not enough.
Yeah. And right. also like the chains of supply
yeah.
could then be put into place in a very yeah. like economical way.
Yeah, of course. And like produce, there's Asian produce in California is amazing. I mean, you know, if you wanted guava, like you eat the guava and throw it in your backyard, it would grow. You know, there's
okay.
There's
that sounds like magic.
It
first
wasn't
of
that.
All, what are backyards?
Right. Exactly. You know, but there actually are guava trees in random people's backyards, and you know, just ask your neighbors before you pick them. Don't just take them.
Good courtesy tip.
Yeah.
And so then, why do you think, you know, beef noodle soup and Taiwanese food, they're both kind of finally having a moment here in New York?
Well, I think Taiwanese food has always been around New York City,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if you trace back decades, that there's
yeah,
always been.
But maybe not in like central like Manhattan.
Right, you know, not as many in Manhattan so, yeah. neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I think there was a large population in Flushing, maybe parts of Elmhurst, maybe in New Jersey. You know, and I think that we're getting more attention now because. I mean, that's a good question. There's a lot more Taiwanese attention in the media, I think, mm-hmm. kind of in other realms as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Chen Ming Wong played for the Yankees, Jeremy Lin, or like mm-hmm. Eddie Huang, or
yeah.
I mean, I guess Alexander
Well, it does
Wen's
seem like a number of younger stars, I
right.
suppose, drawing yeah. attention.
Yeah, maybe we just figure out a way how to communicate with media better.
And yeah.
That's why we're getting
you guys
more media
are,
coverage.
Yeah. Totally Taiwanese American
yeah.
and you're straddling those two cultures and
yeah.
you're able to speak in an American way.
Right. And maybe before, and I mean, it's hard for me to say this because I'm not my parents and I didn't grow up when they grew up. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know what would happen if New York Times reached out to, you know, one of these small mom and pop shops 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, maybe the same exact thing happens now, you know, who knows? But I think that, you know, now, especially with Instagram and Facebook and kind of these like quick consumption cultures, you know, for us to get our voice out there, you know, for all minorities and all different voices to put out there, it's a little bit easier. To,
mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think with that, it's easier to spot trends too.
Right.
So maybe it's like a... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's affected by
yeah.
both sides. And So I mentioned this earlier in the intro too, but a lot of, I guess, kind of contemporary Taiwanese food culture mm-hmm. has been defined by some, you know, Chinese from mainland China that moved there in in Taiwan in the 1940s. And so, like, is there a point, do you think there's a point where, like, food from another region becomes fully Taiwanese? Because, like, the beef noodle soup thing was not something, like, Taiwanese people co-opted, but it's, like, came from, some flavors came from mainland China.
Right.
And also, like, the maybe more of the practice of, like, meat eating.
Right.
But, like, it's wholly Taiwanese because you can't really find Taiwanese beef noodle soup elsewhere.
So.
And in China, especially.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, it's a complicated question. I mean, there's Taiwanese beef noodle soup chains in China. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that kind of goes to show what.
Yeah, it's
how specific
gone back
that
to,
is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think for us, you know, I grew up. I mean, in Taiwan, there's very. To try to put this as quickly as possible. There's different types of people, I guess. And there's the Aborigines who've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who came, you know, when the nationalists with the KMT party, and there's kind of people who've been there multi generations.
Yeah.
I think my parents. There's Hakka people. You know, there's a big Hakka population. That's something else altogether. So, you know, we saw. You know, my mom and dad are kind of one of each.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my grandmother doesn't eat beef noodle soup on one side.
Oh, mm-hmm.
No, she doesn't eat beef at all. And my other grandmother, you know, she does, and she makes this. And I think Taiwanese people just kind of, they gravitate toward good food, and if it's something that's
if
delicious.
It tastes good, come on.
Right? Yeah. And when does it become Taiwanese? I think this dish, and as far as I have kind of learned about it, was made in kind of southern Taiwan next to a KMT camp in Kaohsiung.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I guess when you can find the origins of a dish like that, then maybe it's a little easier to say that, okay, this is a Taiwanese dish.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right,
because
it was made there, but now you're
making it here, and so can it just be like a complete American thing?
You know what?
Or maybe that's a goal.
I think as much as like our parents instill like a sense of pride in being from Taiwan or making Taiwanese food. I mean, I'm American. I was born here. You know, I guess my America had a lot of Asian people in it, but you know, we are Asian American, and so I guess the food we make is Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
Is Asian American too, right? That's my perspective. You know, I wasn't born and raised in Taiwan, and then I didn't just get here. And, you know, it's hard to say that this is just Taiwanese. You know, obviously, living and growing up in America had something mm-hmm. to do with it, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will it become American one day? Maybe. You know, mm-hmm. maybe you'll see it everywhere. And I think that'd be awesome. And they'll be like, you know what, where did American beef noodle soup come from? And someone will say Taiwan,
mm-hmm.
you know, or where did hamburgers come from? And people will say this, you know, like.
Yeah. Whole Foods put it on the map in 2018.
I don't know if we did, you know, there's a lot before us, but, you know.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah.
And so are you doing other food at your store?
We just have one dish for now.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, we are. We're working on some other things as well, more Taiwanese items. Taiwanese breakfast is something I'm so fond of.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost always my first meal when I land in Taiwan.
Yeah. We just had an episode with Edward from Zai Lai about Taiwanese breakfast.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely also a big thing.
Oh my God. It's the best. Or, you know, it's. And it's something that we kind of want to work on for to have in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come in and you know have a fan tuan or xian dou jiang, jiang or something. And it's just, you know, I just want to be able to, you know, I can't find these things here. So let's make good versions and let's try to serve them here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good goal. And so, what do you you hope to see for, I guess, you know, I remember we talked about like beef noodle soup getting into like the Ace Hotel mm-hmm. or like more Taiwanese food
yeah.
being as common as that. Like, is that something you think that will happen in the next 5 years or so?
Yeah, you know, I think it's happening. You know, we want Taiwanese food to be everywhere. You know, Taiwanese food, Asian food, all types of Asian food, different types of Chinese food, you know, all types of, for everyone to have a voice. And, you know, it's not, and it's already happening, right? You know, but wouldn't it be cool if there was a Taiwanese restaurant next to a, you know, next door to Per Se, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, or maybe a Chinese banquet style place somewhere, you know, like really old school, multi-course kind of intricate. I mean, all sorts of things, right? Just for example, you know, I think Chinese food is some of the most diverse cuisine in the world. You know, it's definitely my favorite, and all sorts of Chinese cuisine. So it's happening. I think people are investing their time and creativity and money, and it takes a lot of money to open up restaurants. And mm-hmm. so, and it's the train's moving, so it'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What's next for you? Well, I know you're still fairly new and yeah. you're still working on like expanding your menu, but like
right.
down the line, what do you foresee as future projects?
I mean, that's true. We're still babies in this little toddlers, you know, and just figure out like what's left and what's right. But I like being in restaurants. I like mm-hmm. being in hospitality. For us, we want to have more places where people can come in and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And with all places that are focused on Taiwanese food and Taiwanese culture and ingredients and, you know, I don't know if there's something set exactly yet, but something kind of tied to, you know, Taiwanese culture and Chinese culture. And but yeah, more places to come. I'm not sure if we want to do this again or maybe not
mm-hmm.
The exact same, but we definitely kind of want to expand the horizon and show that there's a lot to this cuisine.
Yeah.
And
since you've been at in the food industry for... Right. quite a bit now, was there stuff from say like Blue Ribbon some learnings there that you brought to Whole Foods?
Of course. You know, I was there for a good amount of time. You know, there's definitely a lot of people that have been there for a long time, and I've met so many amazing people. I've worked and I've met so many amazing people through that group. How they treat people, how they treat their employees, how they operate. And that's part of our, that's part of my DNA forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are kind of my formidable years in growing and learning. And I try to pass it on to everyone who comes in. And, you know, I don't think we would be where we are if I wasn't there.
For yeah. sure. And when you say like we and the Whole Foods team,
mm-hmm.
What is that right now? Is it mainly you?
It's me plus a lot of volunteers from our friends. You know, my girlfriend has been a huge help. You know, and you know her, whether it's her network or our friends. Mm-hmm. You know, if we need photos, we're like, hey, you know,
I know someone.
Can you
yeah.
can you show up? Hey, Ryan, do you mind showing up? Like. Just need to take some photos, and or if you know we need help with, you know, how to deal with PR, like even chairs. You know, some of our friends we used to work with were like, "Hey, we want to make some chairs."
And mm-hmm. So like, okay, it's still cool. Such like a what comes out of that is like such a custom and lovely experience built by the community around you.
Yeah, you know, it's very personal, and you know we've been, you know from our. I don't know if it's our culture. It's just me. I think it's hard for me to like reach out and ask for favors sometime. But it's, you know, I think when you open a business, you know, you just can't be shy about
mm-hmm.
needing things.
Yeah. So,
and people have been supportive. They just, you know, they brought and everyone's delivered and contributed in such mm-hmm. amazing ways. You know, I feel very fortunate.
Yeah,
you know,
clearly they've had your beef noodle soup and they're like, okay, this works. I believe in this mission.
You know, that or I hope, you know, I'm not sure why they stick around, but they're around. So I'm very grateful and I hope they feel appreciated as well. You know, I'm not the most talkative person.
Well, awesome. That wraps up today's show. Thank you so much, Rich, for coming on.
Thanks so much for having us.
Telling us your story.
Or having me.
Yeah. You and
everyone all the around friends us.
Exactly. Have made this the possible. Taiwanese community, too.
And the Taiwanese community has been crazy supportive. And thank you very much. And
so, what's the best way for our listeners to stay up to date on what you're up to?
Follow us at Ho Foods NYC, H O Foods NYC, Facebook, Instagram. We have a brand new Twitter account, we have a website. And we have a store location in 110 East 7th Street between 1st and Avenue A.
Yeah. And for you listeners out there, did you enjoy this episode? If yes, please tell your friends. And if you haven't already, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.